Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're not alone. With over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our environment, it's no wonder things can feel out of balance. On top of that, natural changes like PMS, menopause, and other life stages can leave you feeling tired, irritable, and trapped in a constant battle with your body. But here's the good news. You don't have to suffer through it. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is here to help. This herbal formula fine-tunes your hormones, balancing estrogen, testosterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol, which can contribute to weight gain, racing thoughts, poor sleep, and more. With over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. Ready to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com using code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
Welcome back to the podcast. This podcast is called Difficult Dish.
You always do a little sing song.
And it's a podcast about South Asian narratives. And it's hosted by my co-host right here,
Mahua Khan.
And it's hosted by myself, Mashanu Munir. And we got a guest host for this week's episode. As you can see, we got someone special in the building. You see what's going on.
Smiling.
Before you introduce yourself, I got a little intro for you.
You got a nice intro.
I know you're a little comedian or whatnot. You know, I wrote for you a
cannot
little.
Cannot wait for this.
I wrote a little monologue for you. Okay?
I love it.
All right, here we go.
He was proud of this one too.
We got a special guest on the podcast today, introducing Shafi Hossain.
Yay.
Shafi is a stand-up comedian from Bangladesh who moved to the U.S. to study chemical engineering. But after meeting a couple Americans, he said, I can make fun of these people for a living. You might ask, Shafi, why flee Bangladesh to study chemical engineering? But I know why. I mean, what do chemical engineering and the recent standing government of Bangladesh have in common? Both involve toxic waste.
Oh,
shit. He spent the last couple years touring around the country and more, making jokes about green cards, white people converting to Islam, and sympathizing with cousins marrying cousins.
Yes.
He takes a bit of home everywhere he goes. He even brought his dog over from Bangladesh, too. But don't let Trump find that one out, or he'll have another immigrant race to yell at his next debate. He has a brand new special coming out on October 9th that we're so excited to dive into.
Yeah.
He's the funniest chemical engineer in the world. Thank you, Shafi, for blessing us.
Thanks so
much.
That was such a kind intro. My God,
you
looked into my life in a way that I haven't. And
right,
it's all spilled in front of me, and I don't know how to react to it. But I appreciate you guys having me. This
yeah,
is
of
very
course,
nice.
Man. Thank you for joining. Is the dog situation true? Your dog's out here?
It was not my dog.
Okay.
It was my friend's dog.
Okay. Same situation.
But for the joke,
it worked.
You gotta change it to your dog.
Gotcha,
but
I believe it.
It is, you know, it is kind of chaotic when you think about how much privilege dogs have.
They love those dogs.
They do.
People love dogs.
Dogs are
over family in this culture.
I have friends who are like microwaving food for the dog. The dogs won't eat it.
Of
you know
course.
What I mean? They put like crazy stuff on dog.
Yeah,
people
yeah,
have
yeah.
like cakes.
Yeah,
right.
Birthday cakes, birthday hats.
For the dogs.
Yeah.
But also,
it's a trillion-dollar industry.
Trillion.
Like, that's
unbelievable.
Actually?
No, but you know, it's believable, right?
But honestly, that's
you got
the same
me.
Thing with like immigrant parents and cats.
Oh, sure.
Like my
yeah, they,
parents
they
love my cats.
You guys had pets?
My parents have two cats that
two cats,
I got them.
I had a
yeah.
bird.
Yeah, he had a bird,
yeah.
but that's not the same weight as cats, though. Cats are like a whole
yeah,
different
cat,
breed.
Yeah, birds are above
no.
cats.
Was cats are like the brown equivalent of dogs for white people.
I think birds are. You
Who
think
has
about
a bird
it.
Besides you?
You don't get it.
Was it caged it. Or free?
Both. It was a wild bird that we captured.
Well, it flew away. it was
a wild bird that we captured. My mom. It was 7:30
so
in the morning.
So you
my
kidnapped this bird, well,
no,
pretty much.
No, it was willingly captured. You
willingly
understand.
Captured.
My mom was trying to make it shoo away. It wasn't. It
sure.
was. It was coming into the crib.
Yeah.
You know, so at one point, my mom was just like, all right, you want to come in so bad? Like, what's up?
Yeah.
Then that morning, my mom made me go to, like, the pet store to buy, like, a big cage.
Pet.
I spent, like, $200 buying a bunch of toys and stuff. And for
yeah.
that day, I had a bird.
Wait, so birds play with toys?
Of course. We got bird toys.
What kind
mean?
Of bird toys do you have?
No, like, little, like...
The hanging thing.
Yeah, little, like,
oh,
okay, little,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
trinkets,
yeah.
little bells and
sure,
stuff.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like
and then it, like... Makes like plays with it, like
right. Yeah, I taught him how to talk. I
parrot.
Yeah. It was an Indian ringneck parakeet. It was green and red. So my mom was like, "It's a sign.
Like Bangladesh.
It's Bangladesh colors. It's a sign."
So
it's
if
here for
when
a
your mom is like about to be you, you like alert me and the parrot alerts you, like, run, Marshall,
right,
run.
Right, right. You know,
your mom's coming
out.
Know,
thankfully
you.
This was like it was like when I was like in like my early 20s, so sure, you know, like a lot of the beatings have ended, but you know, at this point it was just like, you know, my mom would be outside, I just need like a little friend to hang out with, you know, he'd hang on my shoulder. Anyways, this is not my episode. this is Shafi's episode.
Let's talk about the shoulder. Which shoulder was it, right or the left? Which shoulder was he?
You know, honestly, a lot of time it was just straight up on my head. He was
on
just,
your head?
He was chilling right there. He was chilling.
Just on your head.
He was chilling. Like,
have you ever had like the bird shit on you?
Have I? Goodness gracious.
Oh, wow.
But you know, I took it as like a sign of love. Sure. You know, I took it as like a, this is like, he doesn't have much to offer. You
but
know,
when
it's
a
like,
bird poops
it's
on
like,
me,
it's like, yo,
it's
like,
a gift.
Right? It's like, it's her, I can buy her some french fries from McDonald's. Yeah. Her, I can.
Not McDonald's.
Get a little, not McDonald's. I can get her, you know, a little something. What's a bird gonna do for me?
Yeah.
The only thing a bird, you know, you gotta think about it. Only thing, that's the only way they could be like, I give this to you.
Right. But did you teach the bird how to say like, ami tomake
bhalobashi? I didn't say all that.
No.
I think he couldn't get
ILY.
He couldn't get much farther than just like a hello.
Yeah.
He was still a baby. He wasn't like a, you know,
he was still
like
developing.
That. Yeah.
And he just ran away one day.
He flew away. He couldn't.
Yeah,
run.
He did. Yeah, he flew away. Nah, he flew. But you know, but you gotta understand, like,
imagine he just literally like runs. You're like, I'm not flying today.
No, but I used to take this bird out all the time, and he would never fly away. Like, I take him on walks on my neighborhood. He'd just be chilling. We go on little walks. Go in my backyard. We chill.
Sure.
He'll never fly away. So this one day, he flew away.
Yeah.
So I took that as a sign. It's like, that's his time.
Yeah.
Because he could have left the
love
first
that.
Time.
Yes,
feel me?
For sure.
It was
he waited
time
for the
to
right
be independent.
Time.
Yeah.
You know,
we
you
get
spend,
it.
You spend some time together.
Yo, if
you
listen,
cherish that.
Yeah. Yo, if you listen to the pod, man,
who,
miss you. You gotta come back. But you know, I hope you well. Anyways, we got Shafi on the podcast today. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thanks
today.
Thanks for having me.
Do you want to give like a little brief little intro about you?
Sure.
Not for
like,
me.
I mean, you said all of it. I'm a Bangladeshi boy, born there, moved here when I was 18, 12 years ago. Now I'm 30. I'm old.
Goodness gracious.
Not that old. Let's
it's all over. All
right.
And
all over
I moved
now.
Here to study chemical engineering. I have like 2 engineering degrees, and then I kind of fell into stand-up randomly. I was just walking across this comedy club, and they had like open mic, and I was like, oh, I'll do it. And then I never stopped doing it. I just have
that
kind of
that?
7 years now.
Oh,
so
wow.
it's been a bit. I started after I graduated because, you know, you couldn't do it in college.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, my mom and my dad back home. I have 2 sisters. One of them is back home. The other one is here. And now I live in New York City, and I love it.
Mm.
And
love
I get to interact with the coolest Bengalis who also
yeah,
live
you
in
see
New York.
I love it. No, we love bringing people like you on the podcast because like we've had a few very cool like South Asian people in general on the pod, but specifically Bangladeshi people.
Yeah.
And just like meeting people in all different realms, like, you know, comedians, whether it's an artist, a singer, like everything. And then on top of that, you have your engineering, and then the other people have like their full-time job or like something completely different than their creative like endeavor. It's just so cool to see.
Yeah.
Because like we didn't have that really growing up. So the fact that we can like showcase people like you to show other people that they can do it, but also that like we have some cool ass people within our culture.
100%.
You know?
And I think on top of that is like I've said this a million times, but it's not only do we have the representation of like comedy or music or actors or whatever, but it's like there are these Bengali people that are doing it, but they're doing it very, very, very well. At like a very, very high level that's like very tasteful. Like it's not just like a, oh, we'll support him because of Bengali. Or, oh, we'll listen to his music because of Bengali.
Yeah.
It's like they actually make really good music. Like they actually produce really good comedy.
I also feel like the community of Desi people we have, wherever I go, they're just like so supportive. I'm sure like, you know, there's always like toxic people in every community.
Yeah.
But it's just like, I you know, it's my second tour right now. The first time when I was around the country and also in Europe and Canada, like everyone who came out, they're just like all saying the same thing. I was saying the same thing when I didn't start comedy because I was like trying to reach for someone who would kind of represent us, right? Like we had like very few people doing it, so it's just always nice to see the community always come out and support. Like also like in New York we have, you know, the Bengalis of New York community, and then I was in Seattle, there's like some South Asian communities there, like we're just all over just like supporting our people, and it's just like very nice to see how we're like kind of in fields that are not, I guess, normal or traditional, some would say, but we have finally broken the mold where we're not only doing the traditional stuff, which we're already good at, mm-hmm. but also like trying to kind of explore other ways of kind of expressing ourselves, which is like really cool. And you guys do that with the pod, which is like unbelievable.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a cool time we're living in. You know, all these brown people are doing like really cool things.
We're on the
like,
rise up.
We're in that like come up time.
Because they have like a South Asian museum in America, which they don't have yet. Mm-hmm. But when they have, you'll be in the ground floor.
It's coming.
You
know what I mean?
There'll be like a arena where it's just difficult-ish.
We'll take up the whole floor.
They'll run like the main segments from you guys.
You got to. Yeah.
It's always so cool to like meet people like you because like obviously people are supporting you because you're talented in your craft and you're funny genuinely. But then on top of that, it's like an addition that you're bubbly, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like more to support you. Like your foundation isn't just because you're Bangladeshi. Like people aren't supporting you primarily because you're Bangladeshi.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah. I mean, that's like never been the goal. Like, you know, like obviously like if I'm talking about my journey, it's mostly like my ideas that's out there. Right.
Right.
And I don't want to like pigeonhole myself where I only talk about one thing. I talk about everything. Like I in my next hour that I'm doing right now, I have jokes about like ice makers. You know what I mean? Like I'm really out there exploring everything that I find funny. And I feel like because we live through each other's experiences, right? Like people who will see it, even if they're like, you know, living in, they can just find that funny in a different setting. They're like, I can see why that's good. And that's been the goal. But it's definitely like nice to have, because when I started comedy, the first 4 or 5 years, it was just mostly like, you know, white people coming to the show. And that's, I'm not, you know, that's like no shade. I appreciated all the support. Yeah. But now it's just like you see like 70-60% brown people coming out.
That.
And that's like so nice to see. It's like, oh, finally I can like really be myself and share this experience with them. So
for
it's sweet.
I love that.
I got a question.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about your Instagram bio for a second.
Sure.
All it says is, I hope you like it.
Yeah.
please be kind.
Sure.
Can I have you break this down? Like, what's the inspiration behind
this? Yeah, I mean...
like, do you have people being, like, mean to you?
No, I mean, that's going to happen on the internet regardless, you know? But it's not even about that. It's just like, you know, like, when I do a joke, because comedy is supposed to have some kind of a charge. It's either positive, negative. Because like I like practice meditation. I try to be zen as much as I can. But you can't really have a zen comedian because a comedian's job is to kind of point at the absurdity of things. So you have to kind of get irritated.
Mm-hmm.
But
at the same time, controversial too.
Sure. Yeah. So at the same time, but I struggle with the fact that I want to be as kind as possible to everyone. So if there's a joke that you might think, this is kind of controversial, but then that's not who I am only, you know, like I'm not my jokes. I'm like, I'm more of a fuller human who have like the sensitive side, who has the funny side, the volunteering side, the person who likes chess and beach. I have like so many different aspects of me. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's like when I put something on the internet and you are like, you know, 9,000 miles away, whatever you are, just like looking at a screen and you're like, I can see why you wouldn't, and that's fair because we do the same thing to each other, right? So that comment is pretty much just trying to summarize that, you know, it's all just a thought.
Yeah.
I hope you like it. If you don't, that one is not for you.
Right.
But I still hope we can find each other on a common ground outside this space.
That's
you know
beautiful.
What I mean?
That's beautiful.
That's kind of the goal.
I thought it was just like you were getting like a little bullied or you just had to post up.
Yeah, sure. I mean, there are situations where the one joke will be controversial and then people will like talk about it and then I will have my fans defend it and it's just like a never ending.
Got it. Engagement.
More engagement. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I never respond to negative comments. I have never, because it doesn't bother me.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But I don't even give it time because I don't really personally spend any time on social media. I'm always just, you know, like I have people who will like post for me at times and I'll just like post something just to advertise my shows.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't use that tool, but just for advertisement. Like if I quit comedy tomorrow, I would not be on social media at all.
I love that for you. You're like so at peace with yourself.
Oh, I try to be. I mean, I'm not going to say that I am. It's like a constant struggle. like I have to keep reading The Power of Now over and over again to find myself in the moment.
Yeah.
But it's just so easy to like kind of lose yourself with the times we live in, because you know everyone is doing what, like, you know, we are creators and we have goals for ourselves, but at the same time, like, you don't want to get swayed by other people's goals, because you'd like see them do cool stuff. You're like, oh, I want to do that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you just got to be like, do I really want it, or am I trying to do it because they are doing it?
Mm.
So you really have to ground yourself over and over again and be like, oh, this is my journey. I don't want to like enter this rat race where I'm doing stuff just to for the sake of it.
Mm-hmm.
So like there's that like pivot you always got to do over and over again. And I found myself going through that as well. So I'm like, I'm not trying to play any games. I just want to do it at the pace that I feel works with my mental space.
And I feel like you had that realization like pretty early on. It's not like 30 isn't old at all. So the fact that you were able to
it's been a constant, like I said, like my mom had this foreshadowed my life, I guess. But she was kind enough to put me in this meditation camp. It's called Quantum Foundation. I'm not sure if you guys know it, but in Bangladesh, it's pretty popular. So they do a lot of mindfulness stuff. And I got lucky through that my exposure to like meditation was like, I did like silent retreats and stuff like that when I was a kid. So it's like kind of bizarre.
Wow. I've never heard that.
Yeah, but it's, I really love stuff like that. So that's like been like a part of my life.
You have to like stay quiet.
Yeah,
like
with a silent retreat.
It's probably the most at peace I've ever been.
Really?
It's like everyone is just at like, no one is talking to anyone. You see like groups of people just living, because you're, you know, staying in like quarters in the space. It's called Lama in Bangladesh. And you're all of you together just eating quietly, just appreciating the beauty of nature.
Wow.
There's some like, you know, quiet music going. It's like unbelievable. Like if you can do one silent retreat, I would recommend it to everybody. But it's life changing. It's like the most beautiful thing you can do.
What are some of like, I mean, we're talking about meditation. What are like some of the like main takeaways that you've gotten out of like maybe practicing like a lot of like self work and practicing a lot of like meditation and stuff?
Sure. Yeah. Like, you know, we all need some kind of grounding principles to kind of stabilize ourselves. That's why I feel like, you need something to hold on to, like whatever it is. You know, it could be religion. If you're not religious, you could have some other principles that you can hold on to. Like I've been a big fan of Stoicism, which is like an ancient school of philosophy that just talks about like just control things that you can do and not worry about other things. Minimalism is another one that kind of helps me ground myself. So like you just have to have like and then few philosophers that I like. Alan Watts is one. Peter Singer is another one that I love a lot. So I have those like icons in my life that I'm like, whenever I feel like unstable, like I feel like hesitation in my life or I get like anxious, I just go back to those roots and to ground myself, and that really helps. So I don't think it's one thing, but it's an amalgamation of multiple things.
Wow. Yeah. How do you feel like it's possible to ground yourself and like stay so close to your roots, especially when you got a degree in something so difficult and you feel like maybe you followed this path because your parents told you to go into this, and then now being, you know, doing stand up and things like that, where you have all these like different comments from people and like hate or like just, you know, outside noise. Like how does like outside validation not affect you as much?
Yeah. Cause it sounds like the comedy stuff is like super chaotic. Like, it's a chaotic world. Like you're out 100%. At night, late at night. Interacting with
The degree that you got, it's like all very, you know.
Yeah. So what's all that about?
Yeah, engineering helped me a lot in the sense that it's all about problem solving, and the amount of, because I was doing like two different minors as well when I was in college. So I was like, you know, like you have to fill a form to like take more classes than you can. I was filling that every semester in college. So I was just like doing too much, and that helped me so much, because once you go through something so intensive, nothing feels hard.
Yeah.
In the sense that, because I really believe, I'm not really impressed by anyone, but at the same time, I'm impressed by everyone. What that means is that, like, if you put your mind to it, not that it's, like, easy, you can find, either you can do it, or you can find someone that can do it for you. And I think human beings, we're just so tenacious when we put our mind to anything. I feel like we can all do, like, just think about a person that you think is really cool. I bet they got lucky, and I really believe that, because I don't believe in free will. You have to get lucky to kind of go to that place where you are doing a bit better than someone else. Because I feel like we're all talented. We all have something to give. We're also unique in our sense. But to, I guess, like, come back to the question of, like, how does all of that chaos, how do you kind of circumvent all of that chaos?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I got, like I said, I got very lucky with the algo and people coming out to my shows. And so I really take every show as an opportunity to kind of just give them, because at the end of the day, it's really, really just me and my ideas. So, like, for comedy, it's really easy to ground yourself because you just want to write the next thing that's new and share it with people that might relate. If that doesn't work, that's fine, because you can always have the next thing. So it's like, I just go back to, like, oh, let me, like, you probably, like, with poetry, you're like, oh, mm-hmm. like, is when everything is in chaos, I feel like when you go to your blank pages, you're like, this is therapeutic. This is a religious experience, right?
Because mm-hmm.
it's you and your thoughts, and you're, like, kind of putting all your love into this page. So with jokes, I feel the same way. Like, you know, like, jokes are something that's silly, but it's still my ideas.
It's like your passion,
right?
Too.
Yeah, so yeah. I'm putting my love through that. So, like, nothing matters. You know, there's so much chaos in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's the one thing you can control. And if you're a control freak, stand-up is probably the best thing you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's that, really fun.
I love that.
That sounds a lot like how I was reading on, like, this interview or something that you had that said you got into stand-up because you... And you told us a little bit earlier, but you got into stand-up because you walked past somewhere and you saw that there was, like, an open mic going on. And
yeah.
these people, it looked like they were just, like... letting their ideas out. People were just
yes.
like on stage and just like speaking their 100%. Mind. Like the genre was comedy, but it was
yeah.
just like a piece of them that they were just like
yeah.
spewing into a microphone.
Sure.
So that's kind of like the way that like you look at comedy. It's just like
yeah.
someone spewing out their ideas. Like
yeah.
what's going on in their head.
Yeah. Once you kind of like find your people, like I'm sure like through the podcast or when you meet other creators, you can connect to them in a level right away compared to like someone else, because you're like, oh, like we have like similar journeys.
Mm-hmm.
And with an idea, once you like share it, even if it's not relatable, but they'll laugh or they'll come after it and be like, that one I really connected. Like there's like, that's like the biggest gift that they can give us as creators. They're like, oh, like this piece of art that I shared, they connected. I mean, there's nothing better than that, right?
Yeah.
So I guess like that's been the goal, just like put in the work. And hopefully people enjoy it. So it goes back to, I hope you like it. If
yeah.
not, that's fine, because I have more coming.
Yeah. Wow.
And it's like
Look
you're trying
that.
To just relate your experience with someone else and hopefully
yeah,
make put a smile on their face, but also make them feel not so alone with their
sure.
experience. You know,
yeah,
that,
yeah.
that's the best like
yeah.
Result that you can get from
yeah.
this. You know?
Especially I've seen that because like I have like, you know, like I'm an international student who came here.
Yeah.
So there's like in my shows, there'll be like so many international students that come.
Mm-hmm.
They have like, you know, they're like zero generation, not even first generation, because
mm-hmm.
they are the ones who are here. Their family's back home. Like once you see those people that come out and they're like, because they see me as them
yeah.
and I
yeah.
see them as me. I'm like,
yeah.
this is the most beautiful experience we can share. Because like, you know, I'll try to spend some time after my shows with people that come out, and I have had like the wildest people from like all walks of life just come and say that they could relate to them. That's like the best gift that they could give me, because
yeah.
I'm not really doing it for me, but for all of us,
mm-hmm.
so that we can like feel like, oh yeah, like this is crazy.
Yeah.
You know,
before we talk about, like how you got into this comedy scene and
yeah.
and the feeling you get when you do talk on stage or even like the first time you did it.
Sure.
So it wasn't like your plan to do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let's like you talk about your upbringing in Bangladesh, because did you always know that you were like a speaker, or like
oh,
did you know
no.
what your path was? Like
no.
what
yeah,
was
the,
that
what
like?
Was the life
yeah,
like?
I was very shy.
Oh yeah.
I couldn't even talk to girls. I was
oh
very
wow.
shy.
Oh,
what's your birth sign?
I was
sign?
Very Capricorn. Is that
Capricorn?
What you want?
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know.
December 28th.
December.
Yeah, I was like, my dad was always like the one who was like an artist in
mm-hmm.
the family, because
mm-hmm.
he was an actor in Bangladesh.
Oh,
he did
wow.
poetry like you.
That's a very Bangladeshi thing.
Yeah, I
yeah.
would go and see him like just crush in front of
yeah.
like just big circles. I'm like, God, this guy's cool, you know?
That's
that
amazing.
Yeah, and
that
we
did
play
it.
Chess together. My
yeah.
dad kind of, I mean, I have so much love for him. Now he has stopped everything, but he was like such a cool cat.
Mm-hmm.
And I just never saw, like, he was acting my so he was like producing movies and producing like natoks, right?
So cool.
And my mom and my middle sister acted in one of them. I never got to do any of it.
Mm-hmm.
I was also like the nerd of the family. I was just like always like, you know, like sports or like studying. I was kind of chubby, so like a lot of like insecurity came through that as well. I was never like confident with my body. So like I was not really expressive. I would cry a lot. I still cry, but I would cry so much more. What I would like cry like all the time.
What was like the cause? Like the reason?
It could be anything. You tease me, I'm bawling out, dude. You call me like man tits.
That's
I'm like,
that's
I'm crying.
His bio says no hate, please.
Yeah, please be kind.
Please be kind.
I was bullied like crazy. And stuff.
Okay.
For what? Just because
I was fat. But, you know, like, kids are stupid. Like, I don't, like, hold anything against them. Like, if I was on the other side of things, I'd
you would have bullied
someone.
Too, right?
Yeah,
I get it.
Who knows?
Yeah,
because no one has free will. You're just a combination of things that you're surrounded by. And you kind of impart it on other things, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
That was kind of my a lot of sports, a lot of you know, functions with your sisters and a lot of movies that I would watch with them, and obviously my dad being in it, I had to like spend a lot of time doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But Bangladesh, it was, you know, like now we see Bangladesh going through this coup that just happened recently.
Mm-hmm.
Bangladesh has always been unstable. Like, it has never been like a period of peace. Like, I've always been scared of the politics of Bangladesh.
Of course.
The people are so sweet and so lovely, but then you see this other dichotomy where people, whoever want power in Bangladesh, the worst human beings again. You know what I mean?
Right.
They just like make the country so chaotic. Like, I remember like we had like hartals, which are like strikes.
Yeah.
They would like just burn like
and
a
fire,
bus. Yeah. So like that was like a common theme. Like, I would go to school and I see a bus that's like just on fire. I'm like,
wow,
dude, this is insane. And I remember like my dad would go to work in the morning and I would worry about his life as a kid. That's what I went through.
Wow.
And then like now I see this, I'm like, yeah, this is not new. This has always been a theme. There's flooding this is not a new flood. We had flooding every year since I was a kid.
Yep.
I remember like people going to school in boats. Like, they would get on a boat to go to school. So it's like nothing has changed systematically. But at the same time, you have so much love for the people and the country and,
mm-hmm.
and the culture and what it represents. And it's just like upsetting that they didn't create a space where it's even safe to do politics. Like, I love politics so much, like in the US, around the world. Like, if I wasn't doing what I was doing, I would have loved to be, but I don't feel safe. You know, I would
mm-hmm.
never want to do it in Bangladesh, because it's just like, I had like friends, dad who was in the opposition party who just like disappeared, and we never found out. Like, he never got closure. And it's like a crazy thing to even think about, that your dad just goes to work, never comes back, and you're like, I don't know if he's alive or not.
That's scary.
So that part of Bangladesh is something that I've like stayed with me, where it was just like always chaotic and unstable.
Mm-hmm.
So like I try to, you know, like I'll donate to the flooding. I'll like raise my, like in my last show, like I like sold my marsh to like distribute all the profits to the flood that just happened.
Yeah.
Like, but you still have to do something, you know what I mean? And that's what I chose, I guess, to do, because, you know, it's really, really scary, the situation. Now, hopefully, with the new government, we'll see something, but, you know.
Yeah, man.
Do you feel like it has always been your dream to, like, get a more stable, like, life in America? Like, has it always been your faraway dream to like go to school here and like get your degree?
Yeah, when I was four,
yeah,
someone asked me what I wanted to do. I was like, well, I want to study abroad.
Mm.
I was like always into sciences, and the research that you can do in Bangladesh, it's not, you know, like the most robust, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of the motivation. Obviously, I didn't know how my life's gonna pan out, but I always wanted to get that. Because it was also like a status thing where you like study abroad, you know, back home.
Of course.
Like, oh my God, you have a degree.
Yeah.
So maybe that kind of swayed my decisions at the time. But looking back, you know, like I have zero regrets. Like, I love my country and I love America so much.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I American values are so in line with mine. Like, obviously there's like crazy politics here.
Of course.
But just like the people, like most people that I have in my life, because I lived my adult years through through the lens of like being American, quote unquote, right? Mm-hmm. It's just like the ideals of like free speech, free practice, whatever religion you want. Like those values, I just think are so important.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not practiced everywhere, you know, to the degree that I would like it to. Even with the problems in America, I mean, that's still something that people, you know, Republican, Democrat, whoever you are, I think they would fight for that value.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's very important. So yeah.
It's so interesting how you're like talking about how you love both countries and your experience in both countries, because I've spoken to people in Bangladesh who have also traveled abroad for school and things like that, and they hated it because they were like, oh, we don't have, you know, the house workers to help us anymore.
Sure.
It's so independent in America. Sure. You have to pay for everything, cook for everything yourself.
Yeah.
And they just want to go back home to like Bangladesh and have that
easy life.
Easier life with you know, the money and help and things like that. So it's nice to hear like a better perspective.
Sure. I mean, you know, they probably had a different experience than I did. Like I have just met the best people.
Yeah.
I got probably lucky. I got surrounded by people that are like you know, creators and doing things that are like taking risks in life.
Yeah.
Like if you just look at New York, like living in New York is hard. It's expensive. It's crowded. But at the same time, it's so beautiful. It's so poetic. It's a once in a lifetime kind of. It's like one of the most historic cities in the world, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that, and then some people might not want that path or lifestyle, and that's okay too. You know, just like different paths, different things that you want out of life. And for me, I just think like, you know, like the values of just protecting minorities and all of that is just like so much more important to me than anything else. That I kind of fell in love with that, I guess, in America. Just like if you just look at all the things that are happening, we go out and protest.
Yeah.
And whatever thing you believe in, the fact that you can go out and protest and like not really have to worry about dying that day, I think it's like a good thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I love that so much.
A good place to start.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's beautiful, man. You're very like, well, like incredibly well spoken about like all these things that, you know, you could feel the love and the passion exude from your voice.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
So I feel that.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about maybe some of the culture shocks that you had coming to America.
Yeah.
You were born and raised in Bangladesh your whole life.
Yeah.
You're out here now in the States. What was different? What did you see that you're like, damn, what is that?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
what is that?
What's going on here?
Yeah.
The open mics might be one, you know, maybe you didn't see that in Bangladesh.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it is an evolution, right? Like, cause like, you know, you're in Bangladesh and like you get American culture, right? You see American pie. You kind of get it. You're like, okay, this is what it is, right?
Simpsons,
but then when you see it in real life, it's different. Like, I guess the biggest shock in college was like frat parties were just kind of in your face. You know what I mean? And it's just like people like, you know, grinding to Miley Cyrus's Party in the USA. It's in your face. You're like, okay, this is what it is.
Right.
Okay.
But then obviously over time you get like used to that as well.
Right.
It's just like anything, right? Like your reference point always shifts. It could be you as a creator, you're like, oh, I wish 50 people listen to me. And then when they do that, you're like, I wish 100. And then it just always shifts.
Mm-hmm.
With also culture, you're like, oh, like people are drinking. Because, you know, in Bangladesh, I have friends who drink. You know, they have drank always.
Yeah.
But then you move here and like people like drinking a different level. You know what I mean? So it's just like
this reference point, it's
shifted. You know, like, you know, like maybe you had different views and different belief systems, right? You're like, you know, I had friends who are like in love with their girlfriends. Like they want to be monogamous for the rest of their life. Beautiful. And then you move here, you're like, oh, they have three partners and they love all of them.
Right.
And you gotta readjust.
Okay.
And be like, this is also beautiful. This can also be beautiful. You
Understood.
Know what I mean? If it works for you, it works for you. So it's just like that, you see it more, and then you get surrounded by it, and then you try to see the beauty in that, and obviously let them live their lives. But I guess that's what I've seen more of, just like the different walks, like, because Bangladesh, you know, still pretty homogeneous, right? You just have brown people surrounding you. And then you move to America, you have people from everywhere surrounding you. So you just get, and that's what I guess I got so lucky with, because I feel like everyone needs to be exposed to that amount of diversity to kind of shock you really early.
Absolutely.
Because if you have that, you will not be hateful, because you're like, oh, this is just what they do.
Yeah. So that readjusting was always, it always like came easy to you? Just like
it was slow, but it's like the best thing that happened to me for sure. You know, like I didn't really know a lot about the LGBTQ community back home because no one really comes out. But then you move here and I have like Bengali gay friend. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's just like such a beautiful,
wonderful
thing to see. And you're like, that's so cool. Mm-hmm. I wish they could do that.
Yeah.
But they don't have either the support system or they're like afraid or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's like, and also through comedy, you just meet I have like friends who are strippers who do comedy. I have friends who have OnlyFans who do comedy. I have friends who are Uber drivers who do. They're just like everyone who's just like expressing their life through that lens of art form.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like you're like after a while you're like everything is cool and everything is awesome.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? I support it all. No, but I love that you're so open about it because there are a lot of people that you know move here from another country and they have the culture shock, but they're still kind of like, this is scary. I don't support this. Let me kind of stay back.
Change
you know?
Is tough.
Right.
People do not like everything you listen to on the news. They're just scaring you because there's a change and they don't want it to change.
Of course.
So once you're open to change, I had this friend who had this beautiful tattoo. It's a delta sign, like the triangle sign. But mm-hmm. So triangle in science just means a change. Uh-huh. So from one place to another. But she had the triangle slightly open. So it just means open to change.
Oh.
And that was like the best tattoo I've ever seen anyone ever have. So once you're open to change, you will not be afraid of anything because you'll figure it out.
That's true.
That's great.
Just be open to change and you'll find more peace with it.
I love it.
Yeah. Maybe I should add that to the bio.
Open to change.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like an open triangle.
Always
changing
jokes.
I should get tattooed,
jokes.
No?
Yeah, yeah.
You have tattoos or no?
I do not yet.
Why not? What's going on?
Because of minimalism, I guess. Because I didn't have...
You don't want like animal tattoos? Like.
Yeah, maybe. My friend had that tattoo, so I didn't want to copy her tattoo as well.
Okay.
But you know, if I had something, I'd probably write like "be kind," which is like I don't want to put that on my body.
It's a good
take
message.
Take your entire Instagram bio, put on your body,
on, body.
on your arm.
QR code.
Link to my show.
Link to my shows.
So how do you feel like your presence on stage? Have you always had that? Because you're saying that you're shy.
Sure.
And like. I feel like it's hard to understand someone that has like such a calm and shy like personality.
Yeah.
But then when you're on stage, you're like flying.
Sure.
Yeah. Right.
And yeah. To add on that, just like I would like please like tell us about like your introduction to comedy. Like,
yeah.
Sure. You know, you doing a couple open mics for fun.
100%.
Into, you know, taking it more serious. And
let me take you on a journey.
Yeah. Do that.
So the first open mic was just like after my day job, I was walking through this like. Random place and they're like a comedy club and they're like barking people in. They're like, hey, we have open mic night. I was like, okay, I'll go check it out. And then I like saw just like people just like bombing or some people doing well. I'm like, this is insane. Mm-hmm. I didn't know you could do that as art form. I mean, I knew of the idea that, but anyone just can sign up. I didn't know. And then I signed up and I kept like first time I bombed horribly. Like,
did you have,
but
you had
a lady
jokes,
came
or?
Up to me after.
Oh.
And she was like, I like that one idea.
Oh.
And okay. I was like, feedback.
Okay. Yeah.
Start.
And obviously I knew that I'm not supposed to be good, but right. That kept me going. That one person kind of like, oh, that was kind of okay. And I also have this like, you know, I get obsessed with things and then I try that for a while. If it goes well, I keep doing it. If not, I'll have a new hobby.
Mm-hmm.
Like right now I'm doing that with beach volleyball. I'm just like playing it so much because there's so much to learn of the game. So I kept doing stand up. Like mostly like upstate, like I would drive like 3 hours to do like 5 minutes because, you know, it's not as many opportunities as you have in New York City. So I would like do that.
Yeah.
But like you said, like, oh, I was also shy, but I saw this TED talk. It was called Fake It Till You Make It.
Mm.
And that kind of helped me kind of reshape my body language in college where I was just like trying to fake being as confident as I can to like try to be like, you know, like. Outgoing and like once you fake it for so long you kind of espouse it,
right?
So that helped me a lot, just like be a bit more confident. And I was losing weight. I guess that had like a lot of issues in my mind where I was like not confident in my body.
Mm-hmm.
So both of those things kind of helped me. And with stand-up, you know, the first few years, you're just like soul crushing. You're bombing so much. You don't have as much material to fall back on if something doesn't work. And the only way to grow as a stand-up is like taking big risks. But you can't take big risks if you don't have enough material, because the idea of stand-ups is just we go up with like one good joke to open with, and then we'll try some new stuff, and then we'll close with like strong material. So that you can like always like keep working on something new. Mm-hmm. But when you're a new stand-up, you don't have enough material to fall back on. So if you're bombing, you're just bombing the entire time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that makes you like more shy and more scared. So like it's really an evolution of you being able to do it so much and getting up so much that you get used to bombing, not caring about the bombing.
It's like exposure
and
therapy.
Also, exactly. And also you just appreciate the bombs, because you are like, oh, that means I took a chance.
Right.
Because people who are right. like, I'll have friends who will like go up and say, oh, I want to try this new idea. And then they go midway through. They're like, they go to their hits. I'm like, you're such a coward.
Yeah.
Because you're doing your best shit. You know it's going to work, but you're not going to find this useful, because this was a moment to get one new idea out there. And you chickened out. And I do that. So many of us do it. But there's some beauty to like, just sitting in the silence, obviously like you with good intentions, you know, just sitting in the silence and like being okay with it not working out, because that's life. It doesn't work out. You know,
we always talk about how it's important to have like your failures and
100%
use that to
talk more
grow
about
from
your
it.
Failures
talk more about your failures and like accept failure, like obviously it's gonna suck for us a little bit, but at least you tried your best to like make it work, instead of like, you know, just going for something comfortable.
That's why everyone should try stand-up once, and everyone should try improv once, because improv culture is a bit different than stand-up, because stand-up, at least you're writing the material and coming up, so you're prepared. With improv, when you're doing it, there's no material.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And every improv teacher will tell you that you got to embrace the fails, because you're not supposed to succeed, because you have nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So go do that. If you're someone who's like, oh, I'm shy, I have some insecurities, try one open mic, because you gotta just do it.
100%. And you're supposed to do things that scare you.
100%.
You know, like you 100%. Didn't even think you were gonna do that. You were doing something completely different 100%. In school.
Yeah.
You just walked in and like
so
put
random.
Your best into
so
it.
Random.
Yeah,
it
so
I never
random.
Saw anyone do it.
Yeah.
Do that and do cold plunges.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Be in a cold plunge.
So I did gotcha. That a few weeks ago.
Yeah? Where was
yelled
it?
At me. It was in the Hamptons.
You jumped out though. You got out real quick.
No, it was
you
at least like 30 seconds.
Yeah, 30 seconds. That's not really.
Oh, at least I
nothing
did
to, like,
you
brag
didn't
about.
Do it.
30 seconds is a good first step.
Yeah, he didn't do it. Step. I did it.
I guess
I've but done also like a good. You know, they spend time in the Hamptons. Everybody, just so you guys know. I don't know. You guys heard
time.
Thing. It was
first
a one time.
I don't know. You guys caught that part.
It was a one time thing. Listen,
you do cold plunges. Listen. Where do you guys do it? Listen. Hamptons.
In the Hamptons. In my own private pool.
Yeah, we have a jet. The jet takes us to the Hamptons.
I've done improv a couple times though. Yeah, it's a great time.
Right
down Orlando. Yeah,
people
great,
are so
wonderful.
Nice and supportive.
Yeah,
improv community is pretty cool. Maybe not the Orlando one, but the New York scene is pretty good.
Well, you got hate?
I didn't get hate. It's just like, I don't know. I don't think I bombed, but I didn't get. If no one
there's
laughs,
there's no bombing in improv.
That's true. If no one laughs, is that considered a bomb?
No, improv has nothing. No such thing. Improv. So what kind of improv did you do?
It was like a we would be on stage and they would ask someone in crowd like, oh, give me a time, and then someone else give me a day and give me an activity, and like we would like role play.
You act it out, right?
Yeah,
so it's pretty much like acting. If it's funny, it's good. If it's not funny, that's fine.
Okay.
So it's improv is literally like you were taking a suggestion and just like reenacting it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So don't be so hard on yourself.
Yeah.
You're right. You like you like improv?
I love improv.
Okay.
Improv
more than like written material.
Oh, no. I love stand-up so much because it's like an idea you're sharing that it's like deep in you. It's like a seed you're trying to explore.
True.
But with improv, it's you're really living in the moment
with
the people around you. So there's a
I
combination
like
of those
two. It's engaging,
too. I like
interactive.
All right, so you say you're going upstate, you're driving around, going to open mics. So from the very beginning, do you have the mindset that like, yo, like I want to do this? Like,
oh, no.
So you're taking these trips purely just for fun.
The joy of it.
Yeah.
Like nothing in life should be like, I gotta do this.
Yeah.
I don't believe in that school of thought. I believe in oh, this is what I love right now. I'm going to explore it to the deepest I can. Gotcha. And see where things take me. Like, you, no one owes you anything. The universe doesn't owe you anything. You found something that you love. Wow, what a blessing that is. Like, explore that to the depths of you can and see where it takes you. If you can make money out of it, unbelievable. That's crazy. That's if you cannot, you got to explore something that's really cool to you. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's nothing more beautiful. So how many?
One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
People in this planet can say that they explored something they're passionate about.
Not a lot.
Less than 1%, I would say.
Yeah.
And that's so, like, what a gift we have. Yeah. What a gift we have, all three of us, just, like, trying to share our art. It's crazy. It's a crazy thing to do.
That's honestly something I've been telling myself that, like, in the morning and stuff. Now I'd be like sharing it with her, like, man, like, yeah, like there's this going on, there's that going on, but like, yo, like, how lucky are we to like be in New York City?
How lucky are we to have this
and have that? And it's like, yeah, you know, like the gratitude talk gets very, you know, just boring or like repetitive or whatever, but it's like
there's a lot of value in it,
you know,
sure.
if you live in it, if you bake in it a little bit and like really start to live like that, you know, it can do wondrous things.
Like honestly, like our lives right now we're living out so many of the dreams we had like maybe even 5 years ago, you know, and like you're it's your life, so you don't even think about it like that anymore.
The only reason we put goals for our hobbies or things we love is because other people are putting it on us.
Right.
Other people will come up to you, it's like, oh, when do I see you on Netflix? Other people will come up to you and be like, oh, like how much money are you making? You don't care about it. You just truly are doing it for the sake of art, but other people have this experience. Oh, if you don't make money, it's probably a joke. Mm-hmm. It's probably not serious. But and then you, it's like, oh shit, maybe I should make money.
Yeah,
you know. But but purely, if you think about it, you didn't get into any of this for money.
Yeah,
it's only because other people are putting this expectation on you. Like, maybe I should think about monetizing this.
Yeah.
But you don't have to. You don't have to.
You just want to share your joy.
Yeah, I mean, some people may. You know, we are lucky. We probably have enough financial capacity to like kind of live off whatever we're doing. Some people might need to make money out of it, or they're completely like drowning in debt or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's really tough. But if you are lucky that you can pursue something without having to worry, I mean, that's like you're living the dream for sure. 100%. Yeah.
Do you think making a hobby or passion of yours into like a financial necessity for you? Do you think that like that motivates someone to work harder in it, or do you think it can like
there's
take away
two
from it?
Two aspects of it. It definitely will motivate you, but it also might corrupt your art, because you're trying to there's a point with comedy, whatever it is, you get an audience, and then what you're doing is at times you're trying to write from what they want from you, not what you want them to see. So that kind of corruption with art is evident everywhere you go. With comedy, it's so easy because you're like, oh, this is my fan base, I'll just write more brown jokes, you know, which, you know, you can do. But also you got to make sure that it's coming true from you,
because
you are brown. So you might write brown jokes. That's fine. But is it like really something that you feel passionate about? If you do, keep writing more of brown. Who cares? But with money, like, you know, you might have to like take a job or take a show that you don't want to do. It might be organization that trying to hire you that you don't align with.
Right.
You have to say yes, maybe because you don't have the money, you need to do it. But if you cannot, if you don't have to, what a gift that is. You're just living true to your values.
Yeah.
And I feel like the best pure form of art comes when you don't have a financial obligation. But if you make money through it, incredible.
Yep.
Good for you. That's crazy. Keep doing it.
Yeah. So, okay. So, you're doing comedy. You're posting it.
Yeah.
What, the algorithm's just on your side? Like, stuff is doing good, performing well? Like, what's that story?
So, the algorithm, that's the other thing. Like, people are always like, oh, the algorithm, right? Like, I got definitely lucky, right? Because I have, you know, it's my second tour. So, I'm going on the road performing. People are coming out.
Yeah.
So, I definitely think, like I said, I don't believe that I am the hardest worker or the funniest comic. You need luck so much. Algorithm picked me up a few times, showed me to people. But the algorithm is like that. It's like it'll give you a taste and it'll take it back.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
And then not give it to you for a while.
Yeah.
So like I'm sure all of us have seen, oh, this works, this doesn't, but you can never rely on feeding the algorithm. You gotta just keep doing it as it works. So I post, like, I have like a schedule. My team has a schedule. So it's like, oh, this is when we post. We don't care if it works or doesn't work. We are not going to be like, oh, take this data and recalibrate. No,
right.
We're just doing stand-up.
Like, have fun with it, yeah.
Not that serious.
Just like, oh, this is your job, another part of the job. You cannot, my Instagram doesn't go, this other guy's Instagram goes viral. He's not even writing good jokes. You cannot let that poison your mind. There's a schedule. You're putting it out there. If someone likes it, they will come to you. If it doesn't come to you, that's fine. You just move on. Keep creating more of your art. People will find you.
Yeah,
I believe in
that. Are you doing this full time, by the way, or
I still have a remote gig.
Okay, good.
I mean the semiconductors, so I make the silicon chips.
Oh, that's awesome.
You make what?
The silicon chips that go in everything.
Just subtle flex.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I mean it's I've been in the industry for like all my life. Like career, I guess.
Yeah.
8 years now. So
that's awesome.
I enjoy it. It's fun. I like being in science as well, so it's like a good combination. Like, I've been able to pursue everything I enjoy. So
how are you able to like balance like going on tour or having these shows?
Because it's remote, so I got lucky with that, right?
That's
like
awesome.
Before the pandemic it wasn't, so it was tough, but now it's like I kind of manage my own time, my own hours. I kind of work really hard when I need to, and then kind of can work really hard with comedy when I need to.
Do you recommend having like a stable job, stable income, and then having your passion on top of that? Yeah, while you're chasing your dreams.
100%. Because like I said, if you cannot pay rent, you will not be able to make good art because you're so always thinking about paying rent.
Mm-hmm.
So don't romanticize starving artists. I do not believe in that at all. If you gotta make a living to sustain yourself. No, I'm not saying that you have to make a lot of money, but make enough so you don't have to impurify your soul. Just try to live, and then we have 168 hours a week. You sleep maybe 8 hours times seven. That's 56 hours. You still have 112 hours left.
Yeah.
40 hours at your day job. You still have so many more hours left. Are you telling me you don't have time for your own art?
Yeah.
That's stupid.
Right.
You still got to work out 5 hours a week. You can just oversee a week and then you like not waste your time doing stupid shit like watching The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives.
Oh, wow. Okay. That was,
you know,
so niche.
I mean? Okay. Because it just came out.
Oh, I love that. I think it's interesting because like when you have financial burdens and financial stress, that takes up so much of your brain, right? And like what you said, sometimes you'll take a job that you don't really align with or just do something to get the money.
Uh-huh.
But if you have the stable job that's giving you that income,
where
you can also focus on your side hobby,
yes,
you don't have the financial stress like taking up your brain anymore, where you can make jokes based off your life experience. You have more bandwidth to like actually be creative.
100%.
And I feel like it's interesting for you since your comedy is so based off of like real life experiences.
Mm-hmm.
You have the ability to like tap into that side of your mind.
Sure.
And just like kind of go full fledged into that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So like what's your formatting with like writing comedy, writing jokes? Like, do you have, you'd base it off of real experiences, but how do you make everything flow so perfectly?
So my first hour that's coming out, it's pretty much like my first 4 years of college and then the latter 4 years after college. So it's a pretty good arc. So like, you know, once you're creating 1 hour of material, you obviously you write jokes every day, and then you see an arc of like, okay, how can I piece everything together that flows together well? So when I'm doing an hour, I always have that idea of like, what's the through line? It's like a movie, right? So with my first hour, it's like, oh, an international student that moved here from a different country, how he sees the world and how he's kind of navigating that, and then how he got to have a green card and stayed back here, right? So that's the first hour. The next hour, I'm still working it out, but it's like a lot of jokes about my hobbies, how I see things, where I am mentally and emotionally. So like with the arc, it comes after, just before the special you're taping, but before that, it's like a lot of throwing stuff on the wall and seeing what sticks, because you're writing every day, because I write every day, and then I have one idea that's good, I'll go to a show and try that idea out and then collect data, right? Because stand-up is like the most scientific art form, in the sense that you're throwing, you're A-B testing. This line didn't work, this line worked. You collect all of that and you see, oh, this is an hour. Let's see how I can shape into something that makes sense for the audience to grasp onto. So it's a lot of like backward engineering, reverse engineering. That's the word I was going for. But that doesn't come initially, unless you're like, oh, I'm going to write a show about immigration. So you just research on immigration for the next year. And then you like have a show about immigration. Some people do that. I have like some favorites, like Colin Quinn, who are like does a lot of like political, like reds versus blue and all of that. That's another approach, right? So it's like depends on what kind of thing you're doing, and it varies.
So technical, the way that you think about it.
Oh, 100%. It's very
like,
technical.
It's more technical and scientific instead of like
experience. I feel like that's why I liked it so much more, because it's like such a data driven, because you do one joke in Connecticut, one in Idaho.
Yeah.
Very different response.
Of course.
So you, I have like notebooks of like every joke I've done in the different states and how they're doing.
Wow.
Really? So you kind of collect all of that.
That's crazy.
The end product is like, oh, this is my end product now.
What's something that like hit like crazy in Florida? You remember?
What's something in Florida?
Like a joke that you hit, did anything come to mind? Like some of you said in Florida, they just loved it.
Oh, Florida love gun jokes. Florida.
Florida we love our gun jokes.
Florida also loves when you shit on Florida.
Yeah, because
conservatives are like louder laughers. They're like, oh, they're making fun of me.
Right. Yeah, well. We love that.
Yeah, you love that?
Yeah.
Like when you make fun of Ron DeSantis, they love it, dude.
Yeah.
That's that depends on where you are, obviously.
Shout out Ronnie, that's that boy. Yeah.
Dang, I love the way that you have like specific like region jokes.
Sure.
Yeah
you I mean, it. I love to like, because like stand up, I got so lucky doing it so many places. I use it as my vacation. So I like to go explore a town, try to learn something new. Like I was just in Cleveland this weekend and I found out, I don't know, have you guys been to Cleveland?
I've never been to Cleveland.
Cleveland's main delicacy is called a Polish boy. Yeah.
Wow. It
sounds
what is that?
It's like
a sandwich.
It's a sausage with coleslaw and french fries. It sounds disgusting.
Okay.
Yum.
Why is
but
it called
it's just
that?
Such a because they had like a big Polish population.
Got it.
I see.
So they named it after the boys.
But it's like, it's actually a food from Poland that like kind of immigrated and like kind of made it
wonderful.
American.
I see.
You tried it?
I didn't try it because I'm
vegetarian.
But they could have a vegetarian version of it. But
it's just coleslaw and fries.
I was like talking about that for like 5 minutes before.
And they loved it.
Yeah, it's like fun to like learn something and then you don't know about it. So you're like, they see that you're confused. So they can see that like childlike curiosity that you might have about something.
And I think it's nice because it's interactive like that, where the audience is kind of helping you understand.
Sure, exactly.
The place that you're in. Because
they know that I have... you know, an hour of material, but before that, let's get into this.
Yeah,
the thing
yeah.
that I just found out about
you
guys.
You gotta address creeps. It. You gotta address
yeah.
it. I got a question.
So it's fun. Yeah,
I got a question. We gotta address like the elephant in the room.
Sure.
Like, take the cat out the bag and stuff.
Yeah.
what
I don't even know what he's about.
What do your parents think about you doing comedy? What's up? What's the parental situation?
Yeah, before the episode started, we were talking about that one clip that you had that was really funny, where you talked about how your mother wants you to still be a doctor.
Sure.
And how, so he has a clip on his Instagram where he says that his mom will forgive anything that he does as long as he becomes a doctor.
Sure.
So that can, you know, forgive serial killer, murder, anything.
Yeah.
As long as he has the med degree.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So like, are they still on you for
that? Break that down.
No, they kind of gave up
on
that.
Okay, good.
Because
they
have, you know, like brown parents, they're so pure in the sense that all they want is to have their kids have a stable life. right? That's the intention is so pure and so good, because they're like, oh, this comedy, whatever you're doing, it's not gonna make you money. But because I have a stable career and I also have a job, so I'm, you know, financially so secure, they're like, yeah, do whatever you want.
Yeah.
So like, you know, I got the 2 engineering degrees for them to get them off my back.
Yeah.
And kind of got lucky with my trajectory in life. And like, and then it's like so funny because I was never really an artist of the family. It was my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And then now that I do it, they're like, you have his blood. I'm like, oh, yeah,
now suddenly I have it.
Now I have it suddenly. So it's like they're kind of at peace with it. They're like, that's cool.
We love that.
It's so funny because like, I also got my master's to get my parents off my back, even though I don't use it.
Sure.
And I graduated early, did all the things. And then now my parents are like, see, like you have your Nana Pai's like political and like artistic background. Yeah. And I'm like, where was this when I was trying to pursue it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Give me some credit.
Give me some credit. But also, where was this when I was trying to actually pursue it professionally,
for
you know?
Sure.
But they always change up when like you have your life kind of
figured
out.
That's the beauty of Brown. They're like, they'll be hard on you, but they'll also like switch up and be like, yeah, this is what it is. You know what I
mean? Yeah, we talk about how like Bengali people specifically, like they love like the arts, they love, you know, poetry is so celebrated in Bangladesh.
Yeah,
artwork
I mean,
is so
I grew
celebrated
up listening to Rabindranath Tagore every weekend.
Of
like my dad would just blast Rabindranath
I had
Tagore
on the radio too.
Yeah, and then like they would like my like listen to like Kazi Nozrul, you know what I mean? Just we just have so much, like Bengali people are so poetic and so loving. It's just like it doesn't come through because they're like, we are a country where the resources are so devoid that we need to work hard to, you know, feed our family
of
first.
Course.
And then the art comes. Right?
Yeah.
So it's tough because you're like kind of balancing the balancing act.
Yeah.
But imagine they had what we had. They'd be out of here.
Yeah,
they'd
exactly. Be out of here. 100%. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
We're just lucky ones. We're just the lucky ones.
We cool. are.
Final question.
Sure.
What does success look like for you? What does success mean? Do you feel like you are successful?
Sure.
The American dream.
What does that look like for
you? Yeah. So I guess to go back to the point I was making before is that I don't really put any pressure on myself ever of like, this is one thing that I need to achieve. Like initially one of the goal was to like perform at the Comedy Cellar, which is like the biggest club. Just getting past there because, you know, you perform with the biggest comics in the world. That was like, oh, if I couldn't even think that I would be able to do that. But once I did that, I was like, okay, I've done it all in comedy. I'm like touring, whatever it is. I guess success to me would be just that the fact that I can do it and share it and people are coming out to see it, I feel very grateful. I don't need anything more than where I am. And also like just like, once you're also like a creator, you get to like connect with other cool creators like yourselves. I have like met so many people like in different cities where they will come out. And like I met this rapper actually in, I was just in, where was I? Where did I? Oh, I was just in Austin and I met this like 25-year-old Bangladeshi rapper.
Oh, wow.
He came out with his mom and his grandmom.
Right.
Wow.
And it was like the craziest, coolest family. And they were just like so chill. And so it's like when you see that and they're like, you know, like you get to share your journey and then they get to share theirs. And it's just like beautiful to like connect with people on like different levels. So I would say that's it. Like I've done everything I could potentially even imagine of doing. So
wow.
That's amazing.
Very grateful.
I love like your humility and just like your gratitude for it all.
You know? I mean, I try to because I really genuinely feel very lucky. Like some people like will say it, but like if I have, I'm not trying to convince people, but deep down I'm like crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I'm doing this.
Yeah.
Insane.
You're like waking up in your dream life every day.
Yeah, yeah. It's like I'm very truly blessed. Yeah.
That's
I feel
amazing.
Very, very lucky.
Man.
That's great.
All right.
Such a wholesome conversation.
Yeah. All right. So we've talked about like a lot of like serious stuff and for like the last hour.
Yeah.
I wanna be like not serious for like the next little bit.
Let's do it.
We got some rapid fire questions.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like no thought, just like,
whatever
it is, like we don't gotta get like philosophical, like psychological and stuff. Like just whatever it is.
Let's do it.
Trump or Kamala?
Kamala, I would say.
Okay. You got like reasoning or nothing, or it's just like
sure. I mean, I think all politicians to some degree are crooked.
Corrupt, yeah.
It's like if you want power that much, there has to be something wrong.
Yeah.
Right.
But you know, I do not believe in Trump's position. I mean, he's trying to backtrack it from now, but just like electing three Supreme Court justices that kind of reverse Roe v. Wade, I cannot support that.
Right.
And also, like, I think he's smarter than he comes across. He plays the game really well.
Yeah.
Which I respect. If you're a politician, gotta do it. But personally, like if you're trying to like go back to the 1800s, it's just not gonna happen.
Right.
They're eating the dogs. Yeah.
Eating the dog, eating the cats. Yeah.
Okay.
Which is fine with me, by the way.
Right. It's okay.
If you're eating cat, because we're eating cows, we're eating
that's
other
the
shit.
Thing. That's the thing.
Like I thought Trump
break that down. You're vegetarian. Break that down.
I thought Trump didn't go far enough. They're like, they're eating cows, they're eating chickens.
Right.
You should have brought all the animals that we eat.
Right.
How and that would be so funny on stage. And he goes, by the way, I'm recently a vegetarian. He just announces
that.
No, it'd be so funny if he did. I would be like, this is my guy, dude.
Then you'd vote for
it's like what is like the cutoff point, you know?
Sure.
It's like
it's arbitrary.
Horses, like
it's arbitrary,
like
that's
rabbits,
what humans like, we make laws that's random and arbitrary and it doesn't make sense most of the time, but
we gotta
live with it.
I agree. Yeah, he snapped with that one.
Yeah.
Next question, what is your craziest or funniest heckler situation, like crowd interaction, like something that just sticks out that you're like, what just happened?
Sure.
Like, what was that?
Recently this happened, I mean it was like 6 months ago, I think it was in Boston. A guy who is like also international student from Pakistan came to the show, and he was also like, he studied mechanical engineering and also does stand-up, so it was like I was looking at myself.
Wow.
Did you post a clip on
yes
it?
Yeah. So this guy, he actually also after the when I found, he was like about to get deported, I think.
Oh,
it was
God.
Just insane. It was so funny, but he was so sweet. I was like, "Oh, do you wanna come up?" And he came up and like he did like a 2-minute set, yeah, for everybody.
Oh wow!
And it was really, really, really nice to see like someone who like saw me and like started doing it,
that's
and then
awesome.
Came on stage with me and did like some.
And that's the reason why you do all this.
Yeah, yeah,
it was really
fun to see. And that was not really a heckle, but it was like a sweet moment.
Yeah.
I appreciate
do we know
that.
If he's like still like?
I think
in
he's good. He's good and in the
God
country.
Bless.
Yeah.
Good. He's still
God
in
bless.
The U.S.
Yeah, we're good. What is like the weirdest Bangladeshi tradition that you know of? Just something that you just think is a little funny, or like just something that just like never made sense. Like
yeah.
Something that Bengalis
oh.
do.
Oh,
that Bengali
I mean, I don't know.
Do.
I don't know if it's a tradition or anything, but I know like a lot of myths that doesn't
okay.
make sense to
oh,
me.
Yeah, go ahead.
Like one of them is like if you see a rainbow, foxes are getting married. Do
really?
You,
I've heard that before.
Heard that? Okay, you've heard that.
Yeah.
What's the origin story?
I don't know.
It's just
like my mom had another one. Before exam, she would never let me have eggs because if you have eggs,
oh.
you get like a zero.
I've never.
It's like doesn't make any sense. So I would never have
I've
eggs.
I've never heard
exams.
That one.
Yeah. It's
you,
like crazy.
Do you still
crazy.
Do that?
No. I never bought any of that. But
there's one
it's
where
so
it's
funny.
Like you can't for girls
yeah,
you can't
so
have
stupid.
Your hair down after like Shonda Shomai like
yeah
dark,
Shonda
yeah because
it's not good.
The jinns are gonna
yeah,
come
yeah,
for
yeah.
you. Have you
the
heard
jinns
that one before?
For you.
My mom always
you
said like
tie your hair up.
My mom always like I grew up playing piano and
oh
my mom
my
would
God.
Never my mom would never let us play after Shonda Shomai because
sure.
The Who? Piano it attracts snakes
yeah.
And snakes will enter the house
yeah
if,
yeah
if I play
but
piano.
That's one thing about brown parenting, they scared their own kids
right.
Don't go there, there's a ghost. I'm like you just scarred me for
you're
life.
The ghost
yeah, yeah.
They're
you
the
just
ghost.
Scarred me for life. I'm never gonna be like
I can't play piano
safe
anymore.
In the dark now
right.
because you say there's ghosts
and it's crazy because you still like believe them as an adult
yeah
because you
know? They're supposed to be truthful
right.
I remember
you should lie to your face.
My mom would always say that about the pianos but like whenever we would like have like guests or whatever come over
they
like, would
play
ask,
play
they
play.
I'm
play.
Like mom it's 9:30
show the symphony
hey. But mom it's not the shop like it's gonna happen like snakes like,
yeah.
And she's like just forget about it. I'm like
yeah
oh it's like pick and choose type of
yeah
situation.
Exactly
okay, I got it.
That's what they'll do. That's
how they do it.
What is your least favorite place you ever performed in?
Least favorite place I've ever... I'm always grateful that I get to perform everywhere I go.
Nah,
but there are places where it's not, you know, like... it's not even the least favorite place. It was just not, like, optimal for comedy. Like, I had to open for a band.
Oh!
I had to open for a band, but it was outdoors at a beach.
Oh,
so it
wow.
was like it was
like
the
ideal.
Hardest setting you can do
right.
like
yeah.
ideal comedy,
people are
yeah.
walking around, they're drinking mimosas
yeah,
just like, I kept talking
doing?
To a kid because he was the only one staring at me. I was like, let's just like talk to this guy. the only reason I did it was like they paid me handsomely, but
okay.
See, like I wouldn't have to.
Yeah.
Because I was like a younger comic. I was saying yes to everything. But yeah, now if that came to my plate, I'd be like, there's no way I'm doing
what
it.
What city was it? Like, call it the city.
It was upstate New York.
Oh, it was in New York.
Shout out my upstaters.
But it was just like a bad setting.
A wild setting. I've never heard that one before.
What is your hot take?
Ooh, anything.
Like, what's your hot take?
Ooh, I have so many hot takes.
It's like the hottest one.
Like, what's an example of a hot take though?
Like, I'll tell you hers. Yeah. I hate hers.
Okay, mine was a long time.
Hers, she says that popcorn isn't the ideal snack for a movie. She thinks chips are better than, and I'm just like, are you crazy?
Sure.
Chips make
but
so
does she
much.
Explain it.
Give the explanation.
I just don't like that popcorns make so much noise when you chew.
But don't chips make more noise than popcorn?
Depends.
I guess she's just like, she doesn't
appreciate
the sound.
And also another hot take is like, if you're going to visit New York City, you can't walk slow.
Sure.
You have to walk fast.
I mean, that's pretty agreed.
No, there's a lot of people that still walk slow. Yeah.
They know they shouldn't.
You still walk pretty slow.
This is my hot take.
What's up?
If you are not doing the hike, you don't get to take a picture on the top. If you come with a car, if you travel to the peak with your car, you cannot have a picture.
Gotcha.
I hate those people.
So if you drive up to Bear Mountain, you can't
you
take a
picture. You are not taking a picture.
Okay.
You can see it, but don't have proof that you are up there.
Okay, but like
I cannot
how do we know? You know, it's like how do we decipher?
Well,
like,
you gotta police yourself. At the
end
of the day,
okay.
You
it's
police
like a
yourself.
Self
that's
thing.
My hot take.
Okay. That's
be
good.
Better.
That's
be
good.
Better.
Be better. Be cognizant about what you're doing.
You're not. I'm just hiking 5 miles, and you're just like taking a selfie up there. I couldn't. I'm like, you know, like I'm sweaty. Can't even take a good picture. And you get to get it. I don't.
Gotcha.
You gotta grab the phone from them and just throw it.
No, exactly.
Right. That's what
I
would
you.
Do too.
I heard you.
Like,
I heard
how
you.
Can you take the credit for it?
You cannot.
That's a good one. Very niche too.
You didn't deserve it.
What if it's like a halfway point? Like you drove up like the hard part, and then like
you drove up the hard part.
Yeah, and then you like walked
no
up.
Such thing.
Yeah, you
your car is doing the work. Yeah. Your car. It's not like you are. Okay. It's not like you are a Sisyphus where like you push the car to the top.
Got
like
you.
the boulder.
Got you. Heard you. That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
What made you think of that just now?
Like, I don't know. I mean, I've seen that so much.
Okay.
Because I love hiking, and I'll go to the top, and I see people doing. I'm like.
Yeah,
don't do it.
I know you didn't work for this.
Yeah, exactly.
Type of
thing. No, that was a good one.
I got one. I just thought about it.
Yeah.
We talked about this earlier. There's this wave of like white girls wearing like scarves around on their heads.
Sure.
And like makeshift hijabs and shit.
Oh yeah.
I hate it.
You hate it? Why?
I hate it. Cause it's like it's these same people that are like you know when our people were walking around a little earlier 2000s you know God forbid
sure,
you know
sure
they were at that time but you know now everyone's doing now it's cool now
it's not
cool.
A hate
but
crime anymore.
That's you know what that means.
What's that
we
mean?
Have come so far.
Yeah,
that's beautiful in that sense, right?
That's true.
That where we're like
you got me with that.
Now we, you know, like when a white girl wears a sari. You're like, okay, now we're talking. You know what I mean?
Oh, you're into it.
Love it. Are you kidding me?
Break that down.
I love it.
It's just like,
so like
thank
people,
you.
People get mad about cultural appropriation. I think the more the better, because that means that you're letting them into your culture and they're getting a taste of yours.
But you then there's a difference between appropriation versus appreciation.
Sure. When I say appropriation, I probably mean appreciation.
Yeah. Okay,
like,
that's good.
Like, you know, like I'll have friends who like go to an Indian wedding and they're like, you know,
oh, of course,
wedding,
yeah.
You know, that's like beautiful to see. And you like, and then at times they'll like put up something on their social and someone be like, you don't like, why? You don't know what they're, why they're doing it.
Yeah.
But yeah, appropriation is probably, I'm probably not thinking of the right example right now.
Yeah.
Do you have,
oh,
I think
thing.
It's cool.
That's a good example.
Do you have any, it's not a question, just like something that came to mind, like any like quick story time of like on a date with the white girl, like just anything.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Sure. I mean, I have a bit about this, but it's just like a British girl who was like surprised that I didn't have an accent. She was like, well, you're brown. And then she was like, you're like one of those advanced brown guys.
Advanced.
She said that to my face.
Okay.
I was dying.
While she has an accent with her British.
Yeah. So like the joke is that, no, you have an accent.
Right.
I have an accent. We all have accents.
Right.
That's the
heard
definition
you.
Of an accent is.
Right.
But it was just funny.
Go on a date with you just for the accent? Like, it seems like
she's
disappointed.
No. No, she. I mean, we kind of like friend of a friend knew each other.
Okay.
We just never like talked to each other and like at length.
That yeah.
So like when we were chatting, like she was like, it came from a place of like goodness because she was like comfortable sharing her like goofiness with me. She was like, oh, like you don't really have, obviously like as a comedian I have to poke holes.
Yeah.
But the way she phrased it was just like funny to me, but it didn't come from like a place where it was
like
just
malicious.
Like, yeah, it wasn't. It wasn't at all. But I have to make her be like,
you have to.
Of course.
It's your job. So that's the internal struggle I have where I'm like, oh, I always try to be zen, but you gotta not be zen for moments to make jokes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know what
I
mean? Yeah.
I remember this one time I was talking to this one white girl and I shared a spoken word poem piece that I performed.
Sure.
And it was back in like 2018 and I was just shitting on Trump.
Yeah.
Right. And back then it was to my understanding that everyone shits on Trump.
Sure.
So I sent it to her and she like didn't give me much a reaction. She was like, hey, like I need you to know that like we actually really support
like him,
like love Trump. And I was just like, I didn't know that was a thing. I thought it was just like, it was just like an online facade, you know. It was my first time where I heard someone say, you know. So like ever since that point, you know, I became aware of like the phenomenon that like people are like into Trump and whatever.
It's like a real thing that
it's
people support.
It's tough when you're like, oh, that those people exist.
It's more common now, but you know, back then it's like it was like seeing like a fossil
back then.
Yeah. Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
My last question is, what is your ideal like Friday? Like a check just hit, you know, you got no responsibilities, no nothing.
You're
What are you doing for the day?
Well, I'll just tell you what I'm doing this Friday. I live my life like it's every week is my my week. So this Friday I'm waking up at 6:30 p.m. Playing beach volleyball from 7 to 9.
Love it.
Then I have some meetings. I'll take some calls and then I'm going to bathhouse where you do a couple.
Ooh, that's nice. That's nice.
Oh, I also did the cold plunge there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, you know, make some good food, eat some good food. I make this killer smoothie.
Okay.
So I'll make that. Probably do a workout if I have time and then go to my show.
Nice.
The show.
I have some merch that I'm selling to like raise some more funds. So hopefully people will donate to that. And then that's my Friday.
Beautiful.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Where's your show this Friday?
The one in New York that's
in
Brooklyn? It's sold out. Sorry, no one can buy it.
Sorry.
I come to the one in October 26. I do one every month where I try new jokes, so it's fun. People come out and they're like very sweet.
I'm opening up for him on
he's
the
doing
October 26.
No, actually, if you want to do some poetry, love to have you. You're welcome.
That'd be awesome. That'd be really
amen.
Cool.
Before we might make it happen. We'll see.
All
right, man. That's all I got.
Cool. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for
this
doing
was
it.
This was a blast.
This
I
was
feel
a
like
wonderful
I'm,
time.
I'm chilling with my homies from like back in the day.
Oh,
you know
we
mean?
Love
this
that.
Is like so easy.
That's
yeah.
literally the environment that we want to create.
I mean,
you
comfy,
did it.
You
know? Did
it. I love the aesthetics. I love the vibe.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
So we always end off our episodes with like a random 10-second advice. Okay. It can be about anything. It can be about the episode, about whatever you're thinking about. Sometimes we keep it just very like useless, but
sure,
if you have anything that you want to say, I mean, one of us can start out to like
I'll start off. Double cuffing your jeans is out of style.
Ooh.
No more double cuffs. You can do a single cuff, that's cool. Ideally no cuffs, just let it fall, let it drape. No more double cuffs, especially if you double cuff and it still sits on top and it still like drapes on top of your shoe. That's just disgusting. Single cuff, no cuff, double cuffs are out of style. You got any?
Mine is consider putting like is it bleach or
bleach is the thing.
Bleach with your whites
to
make it look more white in the laundry. So I've heard. I haven't tried it yet.
Okay.
I don't have it, but I've heard that makes yours
apparently
clothing brighter.
Yeah, let us know. Test it out.
Let us try it out.
I like that. So my hack, it's a hack if you're trying to get a hack. So whenever you're buying Americano, it's more expensive than espresso. Americano is espresso with water. All right? I don't know if you guys know this. If you're an Americano fan like me, don't give them more money. Get espresso. Then ask Starbucks to give you a glass of ice and pour the espresso on that. You have Americano. Don't pay
Is
extra.
That true?
Don't pay extra money.
That's if you get a cold Americano. If you got a hot Americano, you got to run to a hot water machine.
If you're getting a cold, bring hot water from home. Get
That's
espresso.
That's an immigrant mindset.
Get espresso and then pour your hot. Don't pay them money for water. What are you doing?
In fact, don't even go outside to get that coffee. Yeah, make it at home.
At home.
Make it home, guys.
Get a home espresso machine. You save so much money.
Yeah, you spend. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all we got. Shafi, thank you so much.
Thanks
for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
This was so much fun. Thank you so much. Anything you want to plug? His special is out October 9th.
Yeah, just
We said in the beginning.
Watch
it. Say it again, just October 9th.
I hope you
out.
Like it.
I hope you like it. And please be kind.
Please be kind. Thanks again.
Be kind, guys.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate
thank you so much. Shafi, thank you so much for listening. Like the video, subscribe to the channel, review the podcast, rate the podcast. We love you.
We love you.
I love this.
I love this.
Goodbye.
Oh, I haven't said that in a bit.